Welcome to another amazing episode of the Path to Podcast Success with your host, audience building and fear-crushing podcast expert, Evan Bradley Johnson. Every single week, Evan has powerful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and business owners, revealing the podcast strategies they use to grow their subscribers and sales, and how you can use your podcast to finally get to that next level. Now, turn on your mic and let's start down the path to podcast success.
Okay, welcome everyone to another very exciting episode of Path to Podcast Success. I've got a guest here that I think is going to be a lot of fun to have on the show today. This is an industry that is near and dear to my heart, is something I have some experience in, but of course not as much as our guest today. Carlotta Thompson, welcome to the podcast.
So good to have you, and I'm so excited to talk to your guests or your clients, your listeners about tax strategy and the things that they can do to pay less tax.
Heck yeah.
That's the funnest, right? Like, I make taxes fun because it's like a treasure hunt. And you're like, what can I deduct? What are the things that are out there that my accountant tells me aren't deductible or that they're a red flag? And so we're here to just pour into you and find you some things that you're not deducting. So this will be definitely worth your time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I'm kind of curious, have you always been working in the world of tax, or is this something that came later in the game?
Actually, I started studying tax law at 14. I received the little booklet in the mail because I used to send those out by mail that tells you how to prepare your tax return. And so from that, I thought the IRS was like this educational place, right? They would send you stuff and you could read it. Well, really, that's not true. But they did send out the booklet on how to prepare your taxes. And so I started reading that at 14. I knew right away that this was the industry I wanted to be in. At 18, I went to work for a big box tax preparation company. And there I found that they were doing a huge disservice to business owners and not telling them correct information, not telling them what they could deduct, not educating them, not doing anything really. And I thought that that was, you know, an anomaly, like, oh my gosh, this company, you would think that accountants would be helping. So I was like, I'm going to go to work at the IRS because I want to get these people in trouble, meaning the accountants. And so it takes several years to get on as an IRS agent. So I went to work at a public accounting firm for a couple of years, the largest one in Arkansas, and in the top 10 in the country. And I learned a lot about tax and auditing financials. And so then I finally got the call and I was like, oh my gosh, I get to go interview at the IRS. Like, this was my dream. Okay. So, I really thought I could go to the IRS and that the IRS would educate business owners and that they wanted to know that business owners weren't being educated. Like, I thought that they didn't know that. Okay. I was very naive, obviously. The IRS was like, we love your enthusiasm about taxes. Please teach our other auditors. So instead of educating business owners, I got to educate other auditors. So at night, I started a ministry helping business owners pay less tax and educating them. And that ministry became my business a few years later. I thought I would retire from the IRS. I thought that would be I loved it. I loved being an IRS agent, which is kind of weird, but I got to impact so many people that I would go in and I would do their audit, but I would teach them in the process all the things that they needed to do different and the things that they didn't deduct that they could deduct in the future. Obviously during an audit, it's already passed, you know, but hey, did you think about this? You could deduct this if you had the record keeping. And I realized while I was there that I was impacting them at the wrong time. And I needed to get out in front of this. And though I had a very comfy job and got to work from home and had great benefits and I loved it, I had a calling to leave and come on the other side and really educate business owners.
Yeah, because it makes sense. That's not a part of business that a lot of business owners really focus on, especially early on, is the IRS doesn't call you.
The IRS isn't calling you when you start your LLC or when you start your business saying, hey, this is what you need to be doing. They never do that. Like, there's no education.
Oh, yeah. Especially, it's rough for business owners, especially, because it's like, if you're an employee, it just, you know, gets taken out of your paycheck or whatever, and then you don't really have to think about it. But for business owners, it's like, no, that's all you. You have to figure it all out yourself.
100%. And there, I was auditing a guy one day, and he was sitting across from me, and tears were strolling down his eyes, and it was like, Carlotta, I have hired the best accountant. I've hired the best lawyer in our area. And I still am getting a tax bill that's going to shut me down. I'm still not going to be able to recover from this. He said the IRS should make every single business owner take a course that teaches you this stuff. And so that's where this kind of journey started, was like, man, can I do this? Can I create that at the IRS? Like, can I do something to make a difference there? And well, if you've ever dealt with the government, you don't make very many differences. They're very stuck in their ways. And so one of the first things I did when I left the IRS was created a course just to help people learn the things that they don't know. And so it's very important, if you're listening, that You know how it is. When someone wants a podcast, don't they try to DIY themselves and realize, like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of work. I need to hire someone to do it, right? Well, people do that with their taxes as well. That's why we have TurboTax. TurboTax is like the adult video game, right? Like, every time you put something in there, the number changes. You're like, yes, I got back more money. Well, in that you normally will go educate yourself, but business owners are so afraid of taxes, they don't try to educate themselves. And if they do, there's so much misinformation out there and there's so many things in there, they get into this black hole. You would be shocked at the number of entrepreneurs that come to me that haven't filed in many years. And guys, there's no shame around that. I want you to know that taxes are definitely a topic that's hard, but it doesn't have to be hard. If you have the right mentor, if you have somebody that's there to help you and serve you, and they're not trying to get your tax return done as quick as possible.
Right. Yeah, that's, I love these insights into the world of taxes and accounting as it applies to entrepreneurs, because I mean, it really is true that that's just something that when you start a business, it's like, oh wait, you know, this is a whole aspect of business that I need to know about. But no one really does.
Yeah. Like, one of the biggest things that people miss when they become a business owner, like when you started your business, you probably had like a computer and a screen or like a desk or some things that you brought in to use. Most of us, that when we start our business, we like bootstrap all that stuff together that we have around our house. And people never deduct that. They don't realize that when you turn something from personal use to business use, it is a tax deduction as long as you're doing it the correct way. And so, right. I mean, there's so many things like people just don't think about. And, you know, they get hung up on, is this a tax deduction? And if you get nothing else from this podcast, I want you to change that question to, how can I make this a tax deduction? Mm-hmm. Because it becomes a totally different frame of mind. If you are talking to your accountant and you're asking them how to make something a tax deduction, it's no longer a yes or no question. It's now making them think. And how can you? It's like they always say, don't ask closed-ended questions, and just make that question and make it a game. Like, how can I make this a tax deduction?
Yeah. I love that. So I'm curious, you've been in the world of taxes since you were 14, which I think is pretty cool. When you decided to leave the IRS and branch out on your own and create your own business and your own thing, did you have any like entrepreneurial experience before this? Or was this just like you had this vision and this desire to help people and you're like, I'm just going to go for it?
Well, I mean, I subscribe to the thought process that entrepreneurs are born entrepreneurs. And so I was the kid selling candy on the playground and selling necklaces and selling whatever else I could come up with. And I'll tell you, like, when you're raised to really push that to the side and really your job is to go to college and become, you know, an employee and blah, blah, blah. So obviously I never ran my own business except on the playground at school or when I was a teenager, I'd like make stuff and sell it, but I never actually been a business owner. So it was definitely very interesting to say the least. I do a lot of ministry, and right before I left the IRS, I was talking to some of the girls that that I was ministering to, and I was like, a lot of them are drug addicts, or they have babies at, you know, a very young age, or they're coming out of jail, and so they have a hard time getting jobs. And I do real estate, so I did have the real estate business before I had a couple of properties. And I would hire them to work in my properties. And I was like, you know what? You can make a business out of anything. You can make money doing anything. And I was like, tell me the craziest thing you think I would never do. And they were like, well, I don't wear jewelry. Okay. So like, you'll never see me in jewelry. And I was like, all right, I'm going to start a jewelry business. It's like, I'm going to join a multi-level marketing company that sells jewelry. And I started that, and I made like $5,000 in a couple of months. And I was like, see, girls, you can make money doing anything. But that's kind of like was my first dip in entrepreneurship. And I think a lot of people get their start, a lot of women especially get their start in multi-level marketing. So I have a heart for those multi-level marketers, because that's a lot of freaking work, more work than I ever wanted to do on my own. But that was my first taste. And that was right before I left the IRS.
Right. Impressive that you were actually able to find success in that world of multi-level marketing. Because I know
I can find success in anything, and so can anyone else. Like, I could sell anything. I mean, because if I have to, I will find a way. Like, it's important to find. If you're an entrepreneur, you better know how to sell. Because that's your life. You better know how to sell if you're going to be an entrepreneur, because otherwise you're going to be a starving artist.
People really shy away from selling themselves. And it's like there's that line, right? Between being some just like crazy Wolf of Wall Street, sell. People are just worth money. And then there's on the other side, which is like, well, no, if I'm, you know, nice or whatever, people will buy stuff. It's like, no, you kind of have to find the middle. You have to be able to be genuine and authentic, and you have to care about people, but you also have to be willing to sell yourself and what you're doing. And you have to be willing to say, like, right, you're great. I'm so happy to have met you. This thing I'm selling could really benefit you. You should, you know, buy it.
Well, I struggle with, I'll tell you, it's kind of funny, because before I became an entrepreneur, I could sell anything. And then before I became a business owner, then I became a business owner, and I really had a hard time selling this, because I started this as ministry. And so I constantly gave away all, to the point where I had people that I was giving to freely and doing things for them that then started having expectations of me. And I was like, whoa, you've not given me any money, therefore you can't have any expectations of me doing anything.
I feel like that's that's like the lesson we all learn at some point down the line. It's exactly. Like being able to say no and being like, well, hold on a minute. No, I'm worth money. Like, if you want this, you have to pay something for it. You know, because that's the thing, is like, you think at the beginning, if I just give everything away, then people will come back and want to buy stuff. Like, I mean, you can give some stuff away. You can give some stuff away, but stuff that takes real work on your side, like, you have to charge for that stuff. Like, if it's like a free resource or like just giving value, that's one thing, right?
Yeah.
But if it's like, you know, if you're making a course or if you're doing like a service for someone, you always should charge for that.
I would see their tax returns with them on TurboTax. Like, I still do that. Let me just be real, okay? At this level, several million-dollar business a year, I'm still get on calls when I'm required. Like, if I had my sales team's out or whatever, and I have to take a call, I'm still the one who gets on their TurboTax to help them. Because my thing is not to sell you, but to serve you so much that you're like, when I get on a call, my sales calls aren't sales calls. I serve. I come up with all these strategies. I do all these things. Then they're like, how do I hire you? And I'm like, Well, exactly. I don't even know
if
that,
you give them an
someone else. I don't know how to sell at this point. But prior to getting into business, and when I was first into business, obviously I had to figure it out. And it, so there's a fine, like you said, I want to reiterate, there is a fine line between being salesy. I am never salesy. People are always going to ask me for the sale. I'm never going to ask them how to work with me. That is learning sales in itself. You don't have to be salesy. You serve that person in that call. You don't do things for free. Like, I would do tax returns for free. And I still do. Like, just yesterday, my team was sitting across from me and they were like, Carlotta, I was like, I sit here and gave 40 hours of work away that now I've dedicated myself to this weekend. They're like, why'd you do that? Like, cause I just feel like they needed to be served. Feel like they needed to know. And they're like, you can't do that. They're not going to know how much work you put into that. And that is so true. I would never let my employees do that. If I did, I wouldn't have a business. So treat yourself like an employee. Don't do what I do. Yeah. Treat yourself like an employee.
You have to, like, if you give someone an experience of what you do, then they're so much more likely to, you know, pay for whatever it is that you're doing, because like they're going to want more of that. So you give them an experience, you blow them away with a sales call that doesn't feel like they're being sold to, then that's how that works. It's like what is it, people hate being sold but they love to buy.
Yes, you've won if the person asks how they can work with you.
Yeah,
that means you've won. That means you're good at sales, because you've sold yourself without ever having to tell them your package or anything. I have people knocking on my door to work with me, and I'm like, I don't even have anything to serve you with. I don't have anything for you to buy. So if I don't have anything for them to buy, I wind up on their TurboTax doing their TurboTax for free, because I'm not selling that. Then they might tell their friend I'm selling that. I'm not selling that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So let's talk about how your audience can find more tax deductions. I think that, you know, I think they need to know, like, the secrets. Like, what is it that they can deduct that maybe they're not deducting? So I would assume that you've got a lot of newer business owners that are coming into the podcast world, and they're probably wondering, like, what are the things that I should be doing? Would you say that's true?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
So I want you to make sure that you are not overcomplicating things when you're a newer business owner. So some of you guys might be in that 100K plus business, and you may be making a lot, but if you're not and you're under 100K, keep it simple. A lot of people try to use all of these different softwares and different things, and they make it hard on themselves. And if I can just give you one bit of advice, it would be to keep it simple and make sure that you have someone listening and brainstorming deductions with you, or find a YouTube video about it. Make sure you're taking all the deductions, right? So, you know, obviously the black and white ones, the home office deduction. If someone tells you that's a red flag, tell them, no, it ain't. I talked to the IRS agent who actually classifies those returns. She knows that's not a red flag. that's never a red flag, but take your home office deduction. Take your mileage. A lot of you are like, well, I just sit at home. No, you don't. You had to go to the bank and get that bank account. You had to go to Best Buy and get that computer, unless you ordered it online, but you probably went somewhere. So at the end of the year, when you're going back through and you're trying to figure out what expenses you had, make sure you put that mileage on there anytime you went somewhere. Some other big things that business owners miss is advertising expense. All those little kids that come around asking you for a donation, have them advertise for you. That can be an advertising expense. And then don't forget the big ones. All of you who are making well, make sure you're doing that reasonable compensation analysis when it's time, that you're turning into an S corp after you're about a 40,000 net profit, that you are hiring your kids and renting your home from yourself. That's called the Augusta rule and the family management plan. Make sure you're doing all of these strategies that you can do as a business owner, because there's lots of things. I always say your first 100,000, you really shouldn't have to pay any taxes, because there's so much you can deduct in that first 100. Then from there, you should really look at other strategies that you can use, and then start investing in the real estate, start investing in business acquisitions. And that's going to be along the lines of about 400,000 plus. So when you're under 100 I hope to see none of you paying taxes because there's so many things you can reduce your income by.
That's awesome. That is incredible because it's really, like I said before, it's something that entrepreneurs, especially newer entrepreneurs, you don't think about those kinds of things. You don't think about, you know, driving to the bank to deposit a check or whatever, you know, start an account. Like the miles, like that's, you're doing that for business.
And those add up so fast. You get like, a lot of people are like, oh, there's not much. And then I have them recreate the record and they're like, there's like another $4,000 or $5,000. They just don't think about it. You know, when you're, a lot of us in the digital marketing world, we go to events, right? You had to drive to that airport. You had to do those things. You're racking up that credit card. A lot of people don't realize that you get to take the deduction when you put the money on the card, not when you pay the credit card back. A lot of accountants even make that mistake, and make sure that you're deducting all those things you put on your credit card to get started.
I love that. That is something that I think business owners can seriously benefit from, really, like being more mindful about those kinds of things.
Internet, you know, remember your internet and your cell phone are not part of your home office. So you should be deducting probably around 80% of your internet, your home internet and your cell phone. Because let's be honest, I don't use my cell phone or my internet for personal use. It is all business. My life becomes a business, right? And so make sure all those things, when you're going out to a meal and you're talking about your business, it happens so much. Me and my husband, well, our lives are business now, right? So when we go out at least once a week, we're going to write off that meal because we talk about business all day, every day, if we're talking. So writing off one meal a week would be definitely reasonable. Just make sure you have that receipt. There's three things that on the IRS requires you to have receipts for. One is meals. The second is travel. And the third is a mileage log. I use a MileIQ for mileage log because it never disconnects. It's much better than anything else I've tried, including the one that's connected to QuickBooks. For travel, usually you're gonna have the hotel receipts. That's usually an easy one to keep up with. I don't know why that's one that's kind of outcasted by the IRS. But the third one is meals. Make sure you have those actual meal receipts. Make sure that you're writing on there what you talked about and who it was with. And now if you're out of town overnight with travel, you don't have to say what you talked about. Obviously that is a deduction if you're eating out, but if it's in town, make sure that you have that on your receipt.
Nice. I love that. These are all things that people don't think about very much. And so thank you for sharing these insights and making people aware about this aspect of business. But I want to shift gears a little bit and ask you my final question for you. You guest on a lot of podcasts and you do a lot of speaking and you put yourself out there a lot, which I think is amazing. When did you start doing that in business? Because you started your business helping, you know, businesses and business owners with taxes and all that kind of stuff. At what point down the line were you like, I need to get this message out there to more people and work with a wider, more global clientele? And so you decided to start speaking and stuff. Tell me a little bit about that journey.
So actually, I started speaking before I left the IRS. And I wasn't allowed to speak on taxes. So I had to speak on finances. All right. So I started doing, after I did that little thing with the MLM, I was like, man, I got targeted by Russell Brunson. I started getting all of his ads while I was still an IRS agent and started listening to everything. I consumed everything the man said. And I created this course called Love Your Budget. And it was kind of the opposite teaching of Dave Ramsey because I wanted people to understand that they didn't have to live on beans and rice to actually have good finances. And so I went and I had 20 spots and I went live on my Facebook page and I sold all the spots in like, I don't know, an hour or something. And I don't know if those numbers are correct, but anyways, it was really fast. And I was like, oh my gosh, you can make money online. Who ever knew you could actually make money online? So I started talking and then while I was at the IRS, I got the opportunity to go and record this show that was supposed to be on this this network, and it fell through. Like, it happened, we recorded, it fell through, but that got me out of my comfort zone and really made me start talking out loud. And so as I was leaving the IRS and exiting, speaking was already something I was involved in, even though I didn't really have anything to sell, because I didn't sell that budget course after that first time. I don't think I sold it again. But it was, that gave me the confidence. So if you're thinking about starting a business, I would say start speaking now. Like, even if you still have a W-2 job, start speaking, start getting comfortable with that. And then as I left the IRS, I actually stopped for a while as I was building the business, because then I was like, I didn't really have time to speak. I had to do the job, you know, like I had the first thing I did, which I think most business owners make a mistake of, is they don't hire fast enough. And so they get so stuck in their own way, they can't grow because they don't hire. So the first thing I did in like the first 3 months of being in business, I hired someone. And she's still with me today. She actually moved from Washington State all the way to Arkansas to build the business with me. But she's been by my side since the beginning. So tip, hire soon so you can speak, because that's another thing, is you've got to actually be growing the business while you're doing the work in the business. And then, so I started speaking again. I do a few podcasts a year, probably. I left the IRS in 17. Started my business January 1st of 2018. So I did a few podcasts in 18 and 19. And then in 20, 21, 22, I really started trying to speak more. This year, we're doing media tours every month. So it's really going on and asking, you know, I asked to be on people's podcasts, or asked them to be on their Facebook lives, because all of our business comes from getting out there and talking. You know, if you, no one knows about me, I can't help them, and I can't serve them if I'm not speaking. And I don't speak from a place of like trying to get you to buy something from me. I speak from a place of, if I can save you a dollar, you're going to give that money to something you believe in. I think entrepreneurs, like I said, are philanthropic, and they're going to give more if they have more to give. So if I can save them money, that's why I started as a ministry. If I can save them money, then they'll be able to give more to what they believe. And so if I don't get the message out, I feel like if I die and people don't know who I am, then I have done a huge disservice to them. Now, if they hear me and they don't like me, that's okay. Not everybody's gonna like you. But if I don't let everyone know who I am and what they can do differently, then I've done a disservice. So it's very important. That's the only way I started charging people, because I was like, if I don't charge, I can't get out there and talk. If I can't get out there and talk, I can't reach more people. And now I'm to the point where I don't even, you know, I serve so much, I don't need any more money. So now it's just me going out and talking and really spreading the message. And now I get to do that for fun instead of needing something in return. And so I know you've probably heard entrepreneurs that are very successful say that same thing. And you're like, gosh, I never would know what it was like not to need more money. But it becomes something that's very real very quickly. And then it multiplies and you don't even need to spend it. It just sits there unless you're investing or giving it. You have to pay that. If you're not investing it in real estate or buying other businesses, you have to give it to the government. So I try to keep it. Trying to keep buying businesses or doing something with it. Otherwise I have to give it back to Uncle Sam. And, well, I'm not really interested in that. So that's my story. That's what, you know, I would say, start speaking as soon as you can.
That is incredible. That's, now, of course I'm a little bit biased, but speaking, putting yourself out there, it is life-changing for business. Honestly, for personal life too. I used to be really introverted. I never would put myself out there like that or get myself outside of my comfort zone. I do that now. I consider myself a lot more extroverted, honestly. Like, if I was one or the other, I'd be like, nah, more extroverted. I like putting myself in new circumstances and situations that are outside of my comfort zone. And I attribute most of that to podcasting and talking with new people every day and having to interview them and having to carry this conversation with, you know, people I've never met. Doing that for years, it definitely It makes it helps. An impact.
When I go to, I'm very good at speaking, but if I go to an event, I'm not good at like mingling. Unless I've met you online or I've met you on a podcast or I've met you somewhere, I'm not good at talking to people. I'm actually nervous, very nervous to put myself out there. And so part of being an entrepreneur is freaking making yourself do hard crap. And so sometimes I'll just, you know, go up and talk to someone I don't know, but it's very hard. And I come across as very extroverted because I have spoken. I think I was once extroverted, but as I've gotten older, I'm very introverted and I need to retract. I stay a lot. If I'm somewhere like in an event or something, I stay in my hotel room a lot. And I'm just going to say, if you are listening and you want to know, like, how can I be introverted and really get out there? Do podcasts. You don't even have to know the person, right? Like, you're just talking. And if you want to speak on stage, you never really talk to anyone. You just get on stage and speak. Like Russell Brunson, you know, he's very introverted. If you talk to him off the stage, he's very strange in his demeanor. He says, I don't know, I've never really talked to him. I've been to events with him, but he's like, I can't talk. But on stage, he's a very great presenter. And that's how I feel like I am. I'm probably, now if you came up to me, I'm very good at talking to you. But I could never go up to you and say, hey, how are you doing? My name's Carlotta. I'm terrified.
That I understand that. I do. Well, oh, man, we could talk for hours about all of this stuff, honestly, because this is just something, I mean, taxes, podcasting, business, I love it, but I want to make sure I respect your time and the time of our listeners. So I want to say that I really appreciate you, Carlotta, for being willing to come on the podcast and share these incredible insights. And for people who are interested in you and everything you do, and if they want to learn more, where can they find you?
So the best place to find us is taxstrategiesnow.com. And we will have a sign up. We do webinars once a month. And we'll have a replay there. If we don't have a current webinar, we'll have a wait list. That is the best place to find us because we're all about educating the business owner. And that is actually how to come into our circle, is just to listen to our webinar. It's very educational. You'll feel like you're being baptized by fire because it's very much a, hey, do this, do this, do this, do this. But have you ever been to webinars? It's like a sales fest. Yes, and yeah. I don't like those. So I am trying to make, by the time I'm done, you're going to be like, hey, how do we work with you? Because this is amazing. Or you're going to leave and you're going to know how to DIY it yourself, because we give you so much of the nitty gritty of what you need to do and how to do it. And there's nothing held back because our service is a done for you service. We're not selling you any information. We are doing it for you, or we're giving you how to do it for yourself for free.
That's amazing. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. So thank you for being amazing. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode and for supporting the Path to Podcast Success Show. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star rating and a written review, letting us know what you think of the show so we can bring you the most value we can from these expert podcasters. Your support helps us reach more people looking to step up their podcast game so that they can continue to grow their brand and spread their message. So, again, thank you for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success, and we'll see you in the next episode.